Tonight, I just want to talk, you know, I was talking to Pastor about just about not just the threefold nature of man or the three-part being, but it's our fight from inside. So that's what I want to title tonight, is that we fight from inside, you know, because we look at the fact that we are threefold beings, but that it's our spirit man is perfect and that we fight from inside. So as believers, we're called to be holy and sanctified in every aspect of our being. We're taught as believers to live a holy life before God. Now, that can be hard to do if we don't exactly know what it means. We have to realize what the Word says, not what tradition says. We have to realize we don't go by what, like, Auntie says or Grandma says or the neighbor says or other believers say if it's not in line with the Word of God. Amen? We have to go by with what the Word says. So I'm going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I know that we've heard this quite a few times, but faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the word. Amen? So may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And you know, it's the fact that we have to live a holy life, and part of that is fighting from inside, but that we have to realize that it's the whole spirit and soul and body. I love the way that Paul puts spirit first, because as we know, we are spirit beings. Amen? So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the spirit man, and I'm going to spend probably most of my time there, and then we'll get into some other stuff. 1 Corinthians 5:8-9. I know I had the wrong one written down. I think I asked my wife if she could let Kelsey know. It's 2 Corinthians 5. It says, yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we'll be at home with the Lord. So Paul's saying, you know, we're confident that when I die, like Pastor said, if I die, I'm in the presence of God. Amen? It's like, that's where it is. So verse 9 says, so whether we're here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. Whether we're here, there, or anywhere, right? Our goal is to please him. It says, yes, we are fully, verse 10, yes, we are fully confident. We'd rather be away from these earthly bodies. I love the fact that Paul says about being confident. He's confident. We have to be confident knowing that our spirit man is perfect. That's who we are. And this goes back with Thessalonians in that my spirit man is who I am. It has an earth suit, right? We have a soul man living in an earth suit, but our spirit man is who we are. You know, we've heard things about people that, you know, they die and you're in the presence of God and you still have all your full, you are you, because you don't change when you die. You are still you, right? Your body obviously stays here when we go. And I think it's exciting. Our pastor in London used to say, you know, when somebody passed away, he'd say, the nut's gone home, the shell's still here, right? Because the nut's on the inside. You know, so we got to realize that we are very confident you have to be confident, because when you're confident that your spirit man is you, and that's the real you, that it's not about a psychological you, it's not about our psyche, it's not about a subconscious, the spirit man, that's who we are. Because when we realize that the spirit man is the real us, then we realize that's where our fight comes from the inside and from being in the Word. Amen? Our spirit man is the real man. It's the internal part of us. The scripture points out, the more spirit leaves our bodies, we're dead. And that's why it says faith without actions is dead, or lifeless, or separated, right? And that's why when people say you're dead, it's because your spirit man leaves, your body is separated, so your body becomes dead, because there's no life. It's not your spirit dies, it's your life, your body dies, because your spirit man leaves, so now there's no life in your body. So that's why it's separated from you and dies, you know? So we have to look at the fact that everything we do is from the inside. Everything we do is from the Spirit and from the Word, amen? Hebrews 11:4, you don't have to turn there. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that these things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. God created everything that is seen from things that are invisible. He created everything in the physical from the spiritual, right? Including us. That's why I love it, because it says in Genesis that he spoke to the sea and brought forth the fish. He spoke to the earth, brought forth plants. He spoke to the sky, it says, and brought forth birds. What did he do when he made man? He spoke to himself. He spoke to the spirit. Let us make man in our image. That's why when we're separated from God, we're dead or lifeless because we're separated. That's why what he said to Adam, if you eat from that tree, you will be dead. You'll be separated from me, right? And what happened? Adam and Eve ate, and then God said, you're separate. You're now set apart, separated from me, and now you're going to die. Took him 900 years because he wasn't supposed to, but that's the separation because everything is supposed to be about the spirit. Everything, our whole spirit man. So even our bodies at that time were supposed to live forever, but we know that, you know, that didn't work out. And, you know, I love the fact that when people say, well, when I talk to Adam, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. It's like, huh, and you're perfect? Saying that shows judgment, and that's wrong according to the word of God. But anyway, you know, but it's like, you know, Adam fell, and that's what happened. And so now, praise God, a second Adam came, and now we can get back into the spirit. Amen? So when I turn to 1 Timothy 6:12, I'm just going to, as they would say, camp here for a little while. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I like that because Pastor talked, he touched on it tonight and last week when he said that he's the high priest of our profession or our confession, right? You know? So God calls it a good fight because it's a fight of faith, amen? It's a good fight. Why? Because we win. Boy, you guys have been listening to Pastor as well. But it's true because it's a winning fight. Paul didn't say, fight the devil. He didn't say, fight other people. He said, fight the good fight of faith. We don't have to fight the devil. The devil's already defeated. Right? I used to think, well, the scripture doesn't tell us to fight. It says to stand. Stand against his thoughts. Stand against his wiles or the way he's going to do things. Take every thought captive because he's going to try and put thoughts in your mind. It doesn't say to fight him. It says to keep an eye out. Know what he's doing. Keep track of what he's going to do. Because we don't have to. He's already defeated. It'd be like, I'd just say to Mike Tyson, because, you know, my age, I don't watch boxing, but I've seen things where he goes, you know, and they say that he, like, knocked most of the guys out that he fought. And there's some fights he goes in, bang, the guy's knocked out, the rest stands there. Mike Tyson doesn't go and hit him again and again and again. He's already defeated. Mike Tyson walks away and says, yay, I won, right? We're the same. We do not have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. We stand. We renew our mind. We get into the word. And we stand. It's so easy to fight a fight when you know you've already won. It's a winning fight, right? When I knew that she said yes finally to marrying me, I didn't have to keep asking her, are you going to marry me? 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 Oh, we didn't have texting those days. We've been married that long. Are you going to marry me? She's like, I keep asking me. I'm going to say no, right? It's like, fight the devil, fight the devil. No. We pray, we ask God into a situation, we renew our mind, and we get right in with God. Amen? Why fight a defeated foe? Right? It says that he's under our feet. You know, so even if you feel like you might be the baby toe in the body of Christ, he's still under your foot. Right? So we got to realize that he's a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him in his death, his burial, and resurrection. We don't really have to fight the devil, just to know our position in Christ. And Pastor Steve talked about that, you know, about being in him. We have to know that. If you really don't know or have an understanding, right, even if you don't want to take all the Bible college, which if you haven't, you should, go sit in an audit righteousness class. When you understand who you are in him and your right standing with God, it will change your life. The greatest revelation for me was my understanding of him being my Abba, my daddy. Because I know now, because my daddy loves me, he's going to not just be my provider, he's going to be my sustainer, he's going to be my protector, he's going to be everything for me, right? Because he loves me and he wants the best for me. He doesn't say, when I come to him, he doesn't say, I don't have time for you. He doesn't say, come back. He doesn't say no. You know, I've mentioned that when people say, well, God says no. Well, obviously he didn't pray according to his word, because the Bible says all his promises are yes and amen. Right? You know, so we have to know how to wield the sword of the Spirit because we're seated in heavenly places. And that means we have to know how to wield the sword of the Spirit. We have to know how to use the word. It's not a physical fight, because you'll lose. If you try to physically fight the enemy, you'll lose, right? But we have a fight that's already won, and we have to learn how to wield the Spirit. So we're going to look at a couple of things that to use to stand. So 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We already, if you're born again, you've already overcome the world's way. Where is the enemy? You've already overcome. It doesn't matter if it's what the economy says. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. You've already overcome. Amen? You've already overcome because this is my victory. My victory. I've overcome the world, the world's way of doing things, the world's way of trying to make me do things. You know, when you're, you know, trying to do something and somebody says, well, do it this way. Even if it's a little thing, well, that's not scriptural. Leaving 5 minutes for work, that's not scriptural. Coming in 5 minutes late, my boss says to do something, and I'm like, nah, I don't feel like doing it today. Bible says to work unto men as unto the Lord. Well, that's not a big deal. It is. It's the word, right? Am I perfect at work? No. No, I'm not. But I try and watch myself that I don't, you know, I've come, you know, accidentally, oh, I get home, my lunch pail, oh, I got a pencil. I better take it back. Well, it's a pencil, but it's not my pencil, right? Pencil, air grinder, what's the difference? It's not mine. Really? Come on. My boss's car, what's the difference? It's not mine, it's not mine. And because it's the little things, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right? Right? So if I'm, you know, and so people at work think I'm different because, you know, they talk about something. It's like, well, just take it. It's like it's a pen or whatever. No, I got pens at home. I don't need this. Or, oh, they'll do little things. It's like, no, that's not who I am. That was maybe 30 years ago, might have been a different story, you know? Or when you hear people like, go for a smoke and relax. No. I'm like Pastor. I enjoyed smoking. Not anymore, though. Because, you know, it's not smoking, you know, sin? No. But it's not good for your body. Amen? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we got to renew our mind. So we got to know that part of renewing our mind is realizing that we are overcomers. We have already overcome, amen, in Him. The only way the devil can defeat you is if you agree with him. Take every thought captive. So if the devil puts something in your mind, you agree with him, he's going to roughshod all over you. We have to realize that that's the only way we can be defeated is if we agree with him. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee." You just got to resist. He put a thought, look at that. Why don't you go say hi to that lady? No, I got a lady at home. That thought's gone. Resist the devil, right? You know, it's like I said, I'm very cautious about what I do at work with. I don't work with a lot of females. But it's like, you know, years ago, I remember going with some lady very innocently. Yeah, we could carpool. No. Well, somebody said, why not? My marriage is not worth a tank of gas a month. Because she's like, we can save some money. $20 a month? She's not worth $20 a month to lose that. You know what I mean? Because most people, and I've seen it happen, you carpool, you do this, you get into a fight, you start talking to the person of the opposite sex. Well, if I was your lady, I wouldn't do that. If I was your man, I wouldn't do that. You're not my lady, so you're not in my car. Get out. But anyway. but you know what? It's funny because I know guys that go through problems. Like I walk down the street, even when we're in Toronto or Winnipeg, I don't have people coming up to me, hey, you want to buy some weed? Want to buy some weed? It doesn't happen. But I know people have been saved. They used to smoke a lot of weed. And people come up to me, want to buy a bag? Want to buy some weed? Right? You want to do this? Because the enemy knows that's not a temptation to me. It doesn't happen. Have you noticed that? Something that's not a temptation will never happen to you. If you've never been a smoker, people will come up to you and say, oh, come on, just have one. Just have one. It's like, you know, I know people that have tried to quit drinking, and people, your buddies, just have one, won't hurt you. It's the enemy trying to keep a snare on you, right? Now, I'm not perfect. I have other temptations. Like, I won't tell you what they are. So, male. But it's like people say, you want to buy some weed? No, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. You know, kind of thing. It's funny because the enemy will try and tempt you what he knows that you can be tempted. Like Pastor has said, and I've heard him say, his sin is not my sin. My sin's not necessarily his sin. Because I have to be careful about, as you all know, most of you know, I like records. And I got to be careful about not collecting a lot, but about what I listen to, right? If it's to the point, even reading. I remember reading when I first got saved because I've always been a reader. And now it's all people, because I had somebody say, do you want some of these books, like fiction? I don't read fiction. I read teaching books. That's what I read. Not bragging, but that's what I read. But I remember even then the Lord said to me, because I used to read a lot at work. And I was reading. It's like, the Lord said, what about my word? Well, this is Leroy Thompson. This is Creflo Dollar. And he's like, yep, this is my word. And I have to be careful that I don't start reading other authors, even though it's good teaching, more than his word. Because he is the author and finisher of my faith, right? So we all have to be careful and make sure we come from inside. But I like the fact that, could you go back to 1 Timothy 6:12 again? Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. So we're going to look at this for a second. It's a present tense. There's some present tense stuff to do. Fight the good fight of faith. You have to do that now. Fight. Every day you might have to get up and fight faith, no matter what it is. Some people might be a doctor's report, might be your finances, might be what you're doing for a job, it might be not arguing with your wife, might be how you're going to raise your kids. Some of us, we all have to fight a good fight of faith because it's present tense. Something to do now, same as lay hold on eternal life. This is present tense. Paul didn't say fight the good fight of faith because you got eternal life. He says lay hold on it. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold means to grasp. It's not something we can physically grab, but lay hold of something we already have. Lay hold of something you already have. Lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of your redemption. Lay hold of the cross. Lay hold of what he's already given you at Calvary. Lay hold, whether it be your healing, your prosperity, your deliverance, your freedom. Lay hold of that. Lay hold of something that that's already won for you. When you're going through a fight and you're like, oh, I don't know, Lord, about this. Like I said, when I was still smoking, and a guy we knew, he's like, just tell him this. Thank you, Lord, I'm set free from nicotine. You know, thank you, Lord, I'm set free from nicotine. I thought, oh, that's kind of strange, because I was still new at the confession thing, and that's what I would do. I'd light up the smoke. Thank you, Lord, I'm free from nicotine. And I'd go on and on and on. So one day I woke up, I was free from nicotine. You know, and it's like, did it happen in 2 days? No, it happened, but it did happen. My wife, she was like, pastor's wife, can you pray for me? Sure, pray for her. She was done. I'm like, what? Because everything is a tangent point of your faith, right? You have to go where you believe. So it's grasp. We have to grab something. We have to grab our redemption in him. It's not only the salvation and new birth, but it's everything he has, all the promises of God that he already has for us. What are you looking for? What do you need? Find it in the word, right? You know, it's just, I'm going to go here just for a second, because I was reading this in Malachi, because I like Malachi, and it's like, 3:11, it says, you know, this is where he talks about, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Like Pastor says, don't tithe if you don't, I'm not talking about tithing now, I'm just talking about a principle, because we tithe. And I love it. Verse 11 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So we were sitting there and thinking about that, and I'm laying hold of the fact that God is my provider. God is my provider. We know that. The Lord is my provider. We confess that. But then the Lord spoke to me about that and said, but I also will sustain what you already have, because the enemy will not be able to take it from you. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So now, not only is he my provider, but he is also my sustainer. He sustains what I already have. He's provided it. Now he's going to help me sustain it. He's going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. He's going to let me drive a car that runs and runs and runs and runs good. I told you when we came up here and we were working, had tires on the car. I bought them. They had 50,000 kilometers on them. We were here. I was off work for a year. We came up here for 2 years and went back to work. And the tires looked as good after 3 years of being up here, driving back and forth to London, probably twice a year at least. As the day I bought them, I went back to work. I stopped believing that. Within 6 months, I had to buy new tires. But the scripture I believed was, if the children of Israel's shoes do not wear out after 40 years, then he can sustain my tires. Yeah. Right? People are like, you're nuts. I'm peculiar. I don't think like the world. Right? We had a car, and I remember when the engine started shaking on the way to work. I'm like, what is it? I just gotten back to work, so we had no money. And I was like, so I pulled in, and there's this piece of metal, so I pulled it. I pulled it out, threw it in the car, got in, it wasn't shaking so much, and drove to work. Realized afterwards it was part of my rad. I'm serious, because you know, it's like the ribbon from the rad. That car went for another probably year and a half before I did anything about it. It's like, wow. Doesn't happen now, because now I don't believe it, you know. I've gotten in. Sometimes when you get into prosperity, you start losing faith in what you had to have back here. Yeah. It's like, oh, because I don't need it. Let's buy a new car now. But anyway, but we got to lay hold of the redemption that we have in Christ. Amen. Like things like healing. Oh, it's a doctor's report said. What does the word say? I know I touch a lot on healing. And I love the fact that, you know, that he's our healer. You know, when people say, well, I don't know how to pray. Like, come to prayer things. Learn how to pray. But pray in the Spirit. Part of my redemption, laying hold of eternal life, is the fact that I know how to pray in tongues, and I do it. Right? Because I build myself up with my most holy faith. I pray in tongues. I lift myself up. I edify myself. I speak to myself. Like Pastor, speak to yourself in English. Speak to yourself. Get up in the morning and say, you are blessed. You are a child of God. You are free from the hindrance of the enemy. Right? The curse of the law cannot come upon me because he's redeemed me from the curse of the law. So all those things that are listed in Deuteronomy can't come upon me. I don't get boils and I don't get heart disease and I don't get, because that's all part of the curse of the law. And we're redeemed from that. It's part of our eternal life. That's what we got to lay hold of. You know, anything promised in the word, then it says, whereunto thou art called. The word called is past tense. We have been called to our eternal life and redemption. What are you called to? You're called to be a child of God, to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Not necessarily called to fivefold ministry, but you're called to a life of peace, a life free from sin, a life free from anxiety, a life free from torment in the mind, a life free that we can walk in the freedom that God has from us. Is it always easy getting to that point? No. Brother Hagin says, the most important thing a believer needs to do is learn how to renew your mind with the washing of the word. It doesn't come easy. It does not come easy. I know I told my wife I was going to use her as an example, which always happens. But possibly you remember when she had her stroke, right? It was on a Thursday, Friday morning during conference, and she was here Sunday night. Came back, you know. The amazing thing is physically, she was fine. And I didn't realize it because everything was fine. But all of a sudden, but the enemy was doing things on her mind. I didn't realize this till afterwards. Oh. I was like, is that my curtain call? No. But so she was sitting there, and she had these things. And like it was almost like a messianic complex. She was texting Pastor about doing a testimony. I need ushers to bring me in and all this stuff there. And I don't even remember what she texted the pastor. He texted her two scriptures back. I don't even know if he remembers. He just texted her two scriptures back. She said, she looked at it, saw these two scriptures, read it, set free. Done. Her mind was set free. Because what it is the scripture spoke to her spirit, man. Right? Because her body was fine. But then her mind was doing this because it was a stroke is also, not physically, but it's also an emotional thing. And to stay free, the Lord spoke to her. You need to stay in the word. So she started listening to Cruft O'Dollar. And she got set free from depression because she had been battling depression on and off, even as a believer, right? Not like heavy, heavy depression, but you go through struggles. And so she got set free from that by renewing the mind. You know, because I'm, you know, and same thing with me. I get not depression, but I have other things. I get anxious about stuff, and I have to be careful. But it's all part of the eternal life and the redemption realities that we have to believe for. Amen? So, and I love the fact that it says, also past tense is has professed. You have professed a good confession. That's past tense. When you got saved, all this became yours. That was your past tense reality. Thank you, Lord. It's like not, okay, I'm in heaven, so if I die now, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. That's not what it is. That's not what it's about. It's about the fact that now I get to be in the presence of Jesus, and now I get to go tell my neighbor about it, and I get to live a life. How do people know about Jesus unless they see us. They see a change in us. It says in Hebrews that about people seeing, I'll get to it in a second, about seeing holiness in people. How does your neighbor know you're saved? It's not just by what you say, right? Acts 2 says the Holy Spirit came upon them, not to witness, but to be a witness. If I'm yelling at my wife all the time, then I go to my neighbor, hey, Bob, Jesus loves you. And he's like, why do I want what you have? You know, the guy around the corner doesn't yell at his wife, right? My grass is this high in my front yard. People are like, we're supposed to be different, right? Our houses don't have to be the nicest, but our houses should be kept, right? The way we carry ourselves should be different. Not like, oh, I'm better than you, but the fact that we are confident in him, that we are, like I said, peace. When you get a bad report, oh, well, God's got it. As Pastor Steve says, God's got you, right? When you're somewhere and you find out, oh, we're getting laid off, and people are going, ah, I'm like, whatever. That's my seed bag. We talked about that. When he quoted that back to me tonight, because I say it all the time. My job is not my harvest. My job's not my provider. It's my seed bag. If my seed bag changes tomorrow, it changes tomorrow. Right? I'm prosperous whether I work there or not. Prosperity is within me. I've laid hold of eternal life. And part of my redemption reality is the fact that I am prosperous because the word says I'm prosperous. So the devil deals in your mental realm, but he is a spiritual being. You can't fight him in the flesh. If you don't deal with the devil in the realm of the spiritual, with your spirit of faith, you're going to have a hard time. So even though he's a spirit realm, he won't fight you in the spirit realm. He wants to fight you in the mental realm, right? That's why it says you got to take every thought captive. Because he will try and put seeds in your mind. He will try and get you to yell at somebody or to get angry or to buy things you're not supposed to buy or buy too much things you're not supposed to buy or listen to things you're not supposed to listen to or whatever you're supposed to be doing. Whatever, like Hebrews says, the sin and the weight. My weight's not your weight. Your weight's not my weight, right? And that's the thing, is he will try and get you off track. Sometimes our off track doesn't have to be, big. I hear that if you're flying like from Toronto to England and you're off by like half a degree, it's not much, but it's way, once you get across the ocean, it's way out, right? So the second thing is our dimension of the soul, that's our intellect. I'll just go through this quickly because, I've heard Pastor teach on this and you probably have too. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you, separate you, set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord. So we have to renew our mind. We have to realize that it comes from our spirit, but will go into our mind. If you need peace, get into the word, and from your spirit, into your mind. Amen? That's why confession is so important. Because when you hear yourself say something, it'll be here, but when you say it enough, it'll get here. Or if it's here and you say it enough, it'll get here. You have to realize that your mind is your mind, like Pastor says, right? And you have to realize that because it's my mind, I control the thoughts that come into it. I can't get my wife to do all the fighting for me. I love what Miss Nia says, there is a prayer of agreement. So when you realize that you're a strong believer, then you can help those that are not where you are in faith. Or if you need touch on something, then you can come to somebody else, a strong believer. So if you go for prayer, like what Miss Nia said, they said, you pray, and I believe. Because if I'm going to pray with prayer for agreement, say with Nathan, well, I need to know what he wants so I can know if I can come into agreement with him, right? So he goes, okay, Nathan, he's got a problem. Well, what are you going to believe? Okay, I can come in agreement with that, right? You know, if you're not sure, then get into the word, then go to somebody. Okay, the word says this. Then come into agreement. Prayer of agreement's awesome. So he wants us sanctified completely to hold fast without blame. We are without blame, not only in our spirit or inner man, but also in our mind. We think of ourselves as he does. Keep yourself blameless. I'm without blame in the eyes of God. Look at Paul. Paul says, I have sinned no man. At one point in one of his letters, it's like he held the clothes of the men that stoned Stephen, and he was persecuting the church. That at one point, because he says, I've all this sin. But then at one point he says, I've sinned no man. What about Stephen? What about Stephen's family? Because who he was in him, I'm held without blame. Right? He not only died for my sins up to the fact when I got born again at 28, he died for the sins I do tomorrow. They're already paid for. Doesn't give me the right to sin. But I realized because he dealt with my sin nature, I'm blameless before God. Right? I'm blameless. I don't have to go around. Now, if I realize that, you know, I've done something wrong, I confess it according to the word. But if it's like some sin I didn't think about and I died, I don't go to hell because of, oh, I forgot one sin. Because I confessed him as Lord, accepted him as Jesus as my Savior, he's dealt with my sin, past, present, and future. I'm blameless before God. That's what I love. That's why the enemy says that he is the accuser of the brethren. He will try and accuse you. Remember when you did this? Yeah, but Jesus dealt with it. God doesn't remember it. I remember it. You remember it, enemy. But it's dealt with, right? You know, the enemy comes up to you and says, remember you do this? Don't hide it. Oh, yeah, I remember it. But it's already been dealt with at the cross. It's already dealt with. Remember when that happened? Yeah, it's already dealt with. Now, I might have to go and, like I say, if I got in argue with my wife and I did something stupid, I might have to go and apologize to her as a person. But God's already dealt with it. It's already been dealt with at the cross. But now it's like if I go and rob a bank, okay, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry I robbed the bank. It's already dealt with at the cross. I still might have to spend some time in jail or repercussion in the natural, but to Jesus, it's already dealt with. Oh, it's a hard concept. But it's true. I got pulled over, I don't know how many years ago, for speeding. Jesus dealt with it at the cross. I had to pay a fine. Right? I don't even remember how long ago it was. But, you know, it's awesome because, you know, you see these things on Facebook. I got pulled over, I was about a month, it was in May. I got pulled over, going through a school zone, and all of a sudden this cruiser pulls up behind me. I'm like, I don't think I was going that fast. It's my first thought. I don't know what I'm doing. So I pulled over just as because I'm out of the stoplight. And he's behind me. As soon as the light turned green, his lights go on. So he pulls over. I didn't like, I don't have any. I don't have to show you nothing. You can't tell. See you guys on TikTok. I don't have to tell you nothing. It's like, okay. He goes, do you know why he pulled you over? I'm like, no, sir. He goes, I heard your studded tires. It's too late in the season for that. I'm like, oh, so I was, here's my life, whatever. He's like, you have 24 hours. Have a good day. I was like, thank you. Right? You know, if I would have got snippy with him, he would have been, you have 24 hours and $160 fine. You know, but I think of what the embarrassing part is because it's after work. All these, oh, at work the next day, everybody's like, what'd you do? They all saw me, eh? But it's like, nothing. I didn't do nothing except forgot to change my tires. But anyway, so F.F. Bosworth says, we must think in line with God's word. That's how we renew our mind, right? Our spirit man is perfect. Our soulish man is not. We must think in line with God's word. And like I said, Brother Hagin says, our greatest need is to have a renewed mind. So the greatest need for the church then is to have a renewed mind. How does our mind become renewed? Two things before we go. Brother Hagin mentions two ways to renew your mind. Teachers, the anointed to teach the anointed word of God. These are not natural teachers. These are gifts placed in the body of Christ. And pastors. I love the fact that our pastor is not just a pastor, but he's also a teacher. He teaches, right? Because there's some pastors, nothing wrong, but they preach. But I like teaching, so I love the fact that pastor is a teacher as well. And he teaches line upon line, precept upon precept. And the word of God. We renew our minds with the washing of the word of Ephesians 5:26 says. So feed your mind. Like pastor said tonight, feed it every day. Feed it. It's more than just a mental assent or a mental agreement. You got to believe the word. If the word reads something, you don't act on it, then are you believing it? Oh, I believe God, you know, supplies my needs. And I believe, give. But if you haven't given, you haven't acted on it, right? It doesn't matter, like I say, you can give a nickel, a dime, give some time. You don't have to, it's not about giving money, so being a giver, right? Because you'll find that believer, people that give finances also give in other aspects of their life. Because I know a lot of people that are givers that give their time, they give things, they spend time with people, they're givers. It's not just finances, it's a lifestyle that affects all their lives, you know? Real faith will act on the word. I have it now. It's not just finances. I get peace in my mind because I know the word says I have peace. The enemy, the Jesus says, I will give you peace the world does not understand. And sometimes when you have peace in a situation that other people are freaking out about, the world doesn't understand, right? You know, when you're walking in a place that they do not realize, and you say, it's because I have hold of eternal life. It wasn't just my redemption going into heaven. It was the full redemption I have. It wasn't just my place in heaven, go for the mansion in the sky. It's about, what do I have now? Right? If it's just about getting into heaven, then I'll get saved and die. Right? Why go through all the struggles? Just get saved and die. It's about getting saved and living a life now so we can share it with others. Right? Why do you want to be a giver? So you can spread the gospel. Right? Why do you want to live in peace? So people see a difference in you. Not just your kids, but those around you. When we renew our mind and we walk worthy of the calling that God has us, the calling we have is to be children of God. Right? We have aspects of our parents, right? You know, I know my mom and my wife says, there's certain things you do. She does things that reminds me of your dad. She has attributes that are like her parents. I'm a child of God. I need to have attributes like the King of Kings. We need to have attributes like giving, attributes. You don't see Jesus doing it all. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Lord, we got no lunch. There's 5,000 people. Jesus didn't say, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He said, what do we have? Yeah. This kid got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Perfect. It's a seed. It's all I need. Get them all to lay down in groups of 50 and 100. 50. Let them sit down in the anointing. 50. On green grass, on grace. It says, and then spread it out. Then when they're done, how many baskets did they pick up? 12. One for every disciple to carry. What a lesson plan that was. Forget about the 5,000. There's 12. Did you see what he did? He started with a boy. I've heard people, they were big loaves of bread. It was a kid's lunch. We didn't pack Josh's lunch. Here's your loaf of bread for school today. One. You know, we packed him a lunch. And 12 disciples carried 12 loaves. Who do you think got it? Give, and it should be given unto you. Take it to the boy's mom. Where'd that come from? I don't know. I gave Rabbi my lunch, and I got leftovers. Right? But Jesus was like, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? Right? You know, I love it because one of the disciples says, a year's worth of wages is not enough to feed this. He didn't say he didn't have the money. He had a treasure. Maybe he had the money, but where are we going to go and get all this food? But anyway, so, you know, it's the fact that we have to realize, we have to renew our mind. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or faith, in New Living Translation, faith is the confidence, go back to the confidence, that we have what we hope for will actually happen. Do you have confidence that what you hope for is going to actually happen when you pray? Right? It might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. But it will happen. Like I've said before, delay is not denial. Right? Daniel prayed once, it took 21 days. He prayed again, and it happened instantly, right? But God heard his prayer, even with the 21 days, God heard his prayer, right? But sometimes the answer takes longer, but the answer always comes if we pray according to his word. So, and then the last one is just the outward man, which is your physical, you know, because I love it, because Romans 12:2 says we have to present our bodies for spiritual worship, right? Part of that is looking after your body. And coming to church, presenting your bodies. I came home tonight. I said to Kathy, I said, I'm tired. And she's like, me too. I said, but we don't have to go to church, hon. We get to go to church, you know. Because sometimes you're like, ah. But we come to church because we get to present our bodies. It's a spiritual worship. It's our outward man. So I'm just going to skip that because we all know about presenting your bodies as a spiritual sacrifice. Because, you know, sometimes that second piece of cake looks really good, doesn't it? And some of us are not supposed to have it. So we got to be careful. It's not just that, but it's also about lifting your hands, doing what God tells you to do, right? If he tells you to do something, do it. You got to present your bodies. If you don't present your body anywhere, God's got nothing to work with, really. So you have to do what he's called to do. And it might be to minister, to do something, to go forward. Present your body as a spiritual act of worship, you know? And to lift up your hands when you don't feel like lifting up your hands. Open your mouth and praising God when you don't feel like opening your mouth and praising God. Stepping out and doing things. That's all parts of worship. Right? You know, sometimes it's a sacrifice because you might not want to do something. But God will tell you to do something. You know, I heard something And I shared it once before. It was after, it was years ago in Toronto. This lady was, you know, driving along, and God told her to go to a store to do a handstand. And she's like, I don't think so. God said, I want you to do a handstand. So she went and did a handstand. Then she came up, and she walked up, and the guy behind the till was weeping. She's like, what's up? I told God, if you were real, you would send somebody in here to do a handstand. He doesn't tell me to do that because I can't do a handstand. But then I heard something recently, very similar, about a guy who was told to do something at a store, and he went to the front, same thing, as the guy was doing something. He's like, God, I asked God, if you're real, you would have somebody do it. And it was very similar, but it was a different story because it was very recently. It's like, so you know what? You might be going somewhere, and God might tell you, I don't need gas. And God might say, I want you to go in, put $5 worth of gas in your car. Because it might be so you can minister to the guy in the till. God, I like the fact that you go in the pump. But there are times when I've done this, and all of a sudden the Lord said, I want you to go inside and pay. Okay. I don't know why. So I'll go inside and pay. And it might be that he might just need you to say, you know what, God loves you. Or he might just need you to say, smile, have a nice day. Right? You know, you don't know. But if God tells you to go inside and pay, go inside and pay. You know what I mean? Present your bodies. Be willing and ready for God to be able to use you to do something. Maybe a handstand, Miss Grace. Wow. That was my wife said that. But who believes in miracles? No. I believe. Wasn't that Catherine Coleman? I believe in miracles. So we got to, I was going to say, as believers, we have to put our bodies in subjection and renew our minds. Because we got to realize our spirit man is perfect and our spirit man is made whole. And we can experience what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God for our lives. Because you might do something, and you know what? It might not be the perfect will of God, but you could experience the good will of God or the acceptable will of God. And that's okay, but always strive for the perfect will of God. Amen? We will realize that his will is his word and that those promises that we find in his word, they're for us, right? So we got to present our bodies. And that can be hard. Like I said, I enjoyed smoking. And so when the Lord dealt with me about quitting, it was like, you know, and it's easy. I know 2 years after, you know, we were a couple years after, we were sitting there and somebody was having a smoke, and I'm like, man, I'll just have one. And it's so easy. Bang! It was like, okay, for like 2 days and then done. And she's like, what are you doing? Nothing. You can't smoke if you're married to somebody who has a very sensitive nose. A toothbrush, paste, cologne. What are you even smoking? So anyway, so we got to realize that as we walk in his word and renew our mind and subject our body, we will find ourselves walking in the more perfect will that God has for us. Amen? So you can all stand. So, you know, but realize spirit man first. If you're not sure about something, get into his word. Because even through your spirit, he might tell you what to read. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you how to renew your mind with the word, right? Or he'll tell you, you know, I know people that have, you know, had problems with something, and the Lord will speak to him and say, just have water, or do this, do that, and it'll set you free. Well, it doesn't sound very spiritual. It doesn't have to be. It could be doing the 5-minute prayer in the morning, right? It's not about that you have to pray 15 minutes a day. It's that you want to pray, right? Even if it's 2 minutes. He'd rather have you pray 2 minutes wanting to than 15 minutes having to, right? Right? But, you know, sometimes when you start doing the 2 minutes a day, then it'll go to 5 minutes and 10 minutes. And it just, right? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come here. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can renew our mind with your word. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that everything we have is from you, is from within, that our spirit man is perfect. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word says that we are overcomers and we overcome in you. And that we can experience the fullness of your redemption to bring you glory and honor in Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus, because I know most of you do, then put up your hand. I think we're all good. We're all good. Amen. Be blessed, and we'll see you Sunday. I was trying to think what day it was. See you Sunday. Have a good night.